Welcome to the Gigi and Saji podcast. Wisdom, world explorer, and shenanigans, we have it all. Gigi and Saji is a podcast where we talk with all kinds of people all around the world, expert or not so much expert, but we discuss anything that is life relevant to us, about books, TV shows, and anything creative that we want to talk about. I hope you enjoy this podcast and welcome to the show.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Gigi and Saji. I'm in wonderful, amazing company today. It's Amanda. She goes by she, her pronouns, and she's a variety streamer, which is awesome. And we're going to talk a lot more about that. She's also a Libra, and you can find her under Mandy Ren Gaming on Facebook and YouTube. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I'm excited to have you here today because we're going to talk a lot about stuff that I also really enjoy, which is gaming. But first of all, you can introduce yourself to the listeners and just tell us a bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay. So I'm Amanda. Basically, I kind of go by a content creator on the Mandy Ren Gaming page. Not been around for a whole heck of a lot. I only started at the beginning of February. Our growth has been pretty darn good considering how new we are. I'd say it's mostly because of some of the really amazing connections that we've made with other streamers and stuff. Like, the community is very tight-knit and everybody's super supportive. So I've been really lucky in that sense. I know that some people aren't always that lucky. We made it into the Level Up program quite quickly, which is basically, it basically means once you've made it into that program, it means that you are officially monetized and are now able to make money in what's known as Facebook Stars. So a lot of people, unfortunately, it takes a lot of people a long time sometimes to get into that program. And somehow we were able to make it in literally the minimum amount of time that it takes to get into the Level Up program. So that was a really big accomplishment for me. So I was super proud of that. But to be honest, I really don't think I could have made it that far that quickly without the support of the basically like the tight-knit group of streamers that I've kind of become a part of.
Wow, that sounds amazing. My most recent my streaming experience or like the YouTubers I followed, yeah, it was always YouTube, and then it moved kind of to Twitch when that became a thing. So it's also really cool to hear that side from Facebook and to just get that inside look. And also congratulations, like that's amazing. And you totally deserve it to go these ways, which is absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
Right, we're going to move on to a couple of questions that I've prepared. And I want to take a look back first. Like, when it comes to gaming, what was your first memory?
I would say probably, because my grandmother had a Super Nintendo that I'm pretty sure she, knowing her, she probably found it in some garage sale or something. I think it would probably be playing Super Mario, or there was this really good game that I particularly loved. It's not overly well known, I think, because it required the Super Scope for the Nintendo, and it's a game called Battle Clash, and it was basically you played as a mecha, and you had to fight other mechas, and so you had to, like, basically mount the Super Scope onto your shoulder and basically just blast at the television. And I thought that was, like, it was playing that game that I was like, this is incredible. Like, I just, it kind of brought it to, like, a whole new level for me, and it was just, I don't know, like, at the time, like, video games were so, it was either, like, you had the portable kind of, like, Game Boy, or you were playing a console on the television, but to have something be that interactive, like you weren't just holding a controller anymore at that point, like you were holding like this big kind of like unwieldy like gun, like this scope and stuff. And I loved like the little story where it was like you had like all of the content like talking to these other mechas and like being all like, you're evil and I'm gonna take you down, like that sort of thing. I don't know, like it was just, it was really interesting to me as a kid. And I remember thinking like that this was like kind of the start of something big for me. Like that was when I realized like, oh my God, like I really love this. Like I love video games. And it just kind of just kept going that way for me, really.
Yeah, that's amazing. To hear stuff like Super Nintendo, because I think my first like hand console wise, it was definitely like the very first Game Boy that I had. And then the other thing was the PlayStation 1, which
Oh,
at that
yeah.
time was a big thing. I didn't have it, my friend had it, but obviously when I was at my friend's place, we played PlayStation. And it were these first games. I think the most memorable ones were for me Spyro and Crash
Oh, yeah.
Bandicoot, like the very old ones.
Yeah.
That was just epic, and I just love hearing this nostalgia because some people don't know these consoles and how magical they were.
It really was like the beginning of something incredible. Like, I know obviously there was more, like, there was like the actual Nintendo Entertainment System before the Super Nintendo, because obviously I was born in 91, so there's still so much that I missed out on. But for me, like, that was the start of something amazing. And now it's like playing games now. Like, I don't have any of the newer new consoles that have just come out, but even just on PlayStation 4, like, sometimes I'll sit there and be like looking just at the graphics and just the incredible, like, diverse and like just immersive storylines, and I think to myself, like, oh my God, if young me, like, sitting in front of a Nintendo could see this right now, she'd crap her pants. She'd be like,
Yeah.
what? Like, what is this? Like, this is insane.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the if you just think about it, like the evolution of where we are right now, and that's in a span of like 20 plus years, or like 30 years, that's so insane to think about, to how far we have come with the technology of gaming and stuff, which is
It is.
incredible. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. When did you came up with the idea of doing streaming or like gaming online?
So basically, I started out on YouTube for a bit and I wasn't doing any live streaming at all. What I was doing instead was I was doing pre-records. It was just me playing the game, just my voice, no video, no going live, nothing like that. It was basically just me playing the game and just giving commentary. And basically how that started was, basically, my favorite game, The Legend of Dragoon, was coming up to its 20-year anniversary, and I knew that I definitely wanted to do a replay. So it had gotten to a point as well where I thought to myself, I'm like, you know what? Like, I keep replaying like a lot of old games, which is great, like for the sake of nostalgia and everything, but my game backlog was getting massive. So I thought to myself, you know what? Like, Legend of Dragoon's coming up on its 20th anniversary. I know I'm gonna replay that game. That there's no getting around that. I know that I'm gonna replay it because I have to, because if I don't, I'm gonna die a little bit inside. So I'll do that. But also, maybe if I start streaming, I can start holding myself a little bit more accountable with like trying to get through my backlog. Because if I start a game while streaming, if people watch that, they're gonna expect me to post the next video and the next video and the next video. So maybe that'll keep me a little bit more accountable. I'll actually start getting through my backlog. I don't know if you necessarily knew this about me, but I suffer from ADHD. So because of that, I find that especially when it comes to my executive dysfunction, I fall a lot into kind of old, like old techniques of trying to like keep my mood up. So basically, instead of trying to wade through something that I'm not sure is going to give me some sort of an enjoyment, I fall into like old habits. So it's like, well, I know for sure that this is going to make me feel happy for like, I don't know, 15 minutes. So I end up doing that. So unfortunately, when it comes to like new hobbies and stuff, I'll decide one day, oh, I'm gonna learn how to sew. I'm gonna learn how to knit. I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. But with this hobby, I've found that because there's an accountability beyond myself, I've been able to actually like delve into it more and actually like do something with it instead of deciding, yeah, I'm gonna do this, and then looking into a closet like 6 months later and going, hey, this is all the stuff for that random hobby I decided that I was going to do, and I never did it. So basically, when I had started doing that, I've not stopped since, which is fantastic because again, it's just that outside accountability that really makes me feel like I need to kind of keep up with it. So I started out, like I said, just with Legend of Dragoon, and I was posting the videos, and oddly enough, like the first video got to about 100 views super quickly, which was beyond it for me. Like it doesn't sound like a lot, but to me, that was like, holy crap, I cannot believe that 100 people wanted to watch me, this nobody, play Legend of Dragoon. So I continued on doing it, and I became a part of this little group of people on Facebook, just people that are big fans of the Legend of Dragoon, because it's kind of like I wouldn't necessarily call it a hidden gem, but because of the popularity of the Final Fantasy series, it didn't quite make it to the forefront in the same way as games like Final Fantasy 7, 8, and 9 around that time had done. So when I was in that group, I ended up finding out about a live streamer called. His name is Daniel, but his page is Crazy Clay Gaming, and he was playing The Legend of Dragoon, and he was doing live streaming. So I ended up becoming very close with him and some of the other streamers that were part of his community, and I became so close to this community that he ended up approaching me and asking me if I would like to be a moderator. So that was like intense for me. Like I absolutely couldn't believe it. Now I've become so close with them that I'm a moderator on two of his pages. He has a Castlevaniacs page as well, where it's all Castlevania. And he's introduced me to so many incredible people. And it got to a point where they were like, "Hey, why don't you live stream?" And I said, "Well, I don't really, like, I don't know. Like, I don't even use video on my pre-records. Like, I really just, I don't know if I could hack it. Like, I don't think I've got the confidence for that." And so it took a lot of convincing on their part of them being like, "No, like you've got a good voice, you're a good gamer, like you could do really well with this. Like, we think that you would get more viewers if you did it live, like 'cause some people prefer live over pre-records." And I said, like, "Okay, like maybe I'll experiment. So for the next game that I play and do a pre-record for, I'll put video on it too, just to kind of dip my toes in." So I finished Legend of Dragoon. I started on Dark Cloud and I started using video and I started to become a little bit more confident. And then eventually I just decided that's it. Let's just try it. So I made my Facebook streaming one because I knew because of all of the people that I'd met, all the streamers that I met were mostly on Facebook. I knew that I would have more of a backing, like more support, and a bigger community if I did Facebook. So I've kept the YouTube and I still put like pre-records on there. So I'll record my live streams and I'll kind of post them on there just to kind of keep the people that are just on YouTube to kind of keep up with them. But I grew like substantially within just the first couple of days of making that page, and I couldn't believe how quickly it had happened. Like, it was absolutely ridiculous. Like, I was just astounded with all of the love and support that I got, and they were completely right. Like, it was just like all of the guys and girls from that community. They really reached out and they would come into my streams and like them and share them. I was getting so many likes and shares that people that I didn't even know were starting to come in. So it wasn't just friends and family anymore. And it was just like, I'm still, like I said, I'm still quite new to the gaming community, but just all of the love and support that I've received so quickly, just because I started making friends before I started streaming is just incredible. And I can't tell you how many times that I've kind of shut down a stream and said, like, "Okay, like, thank you so much for all the love and support." And I've had people like Daniel or like Adam or like Nick, like coming into the stream and basically just saying, like, "You get the support that you've been giving us."
That's so cute and so sweet. And honestly, like everything you just told me, like it sounds so healthy as well. Like it to have that kind of community and bonding with people, it's just so nice to hear. 'Cause I feel like especially coming from a background, like I've never like been a streamer myself, but I knew a few people and also female friends who jumped in the gaming scene like back, like couple of years back and stuff. And at that time it was also this big debate of like, female streamers and stuff like that. And to hear that you get that support is so amazing, because like, yeah, please keep, like, if you still think that women shouldn't play games, you're wrong here.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's amazing that you have that kind of love and support. And like, yeah, it sounds so healthy as well. And what the guy said, you totally deserve that, you know, like, you give what you get. Otherwise, you give what you get, you get what you give. You get what you give.
Exactly. Exactly.
So absolutely amazing to hear that. What's your favorite thing about streaming?
I would say so far, it's just the social aspect of it. Like, even when I was younger, like before streaming was really a thing, I still, like, I loved watching my friends play games, or them, like, watching me play games. Like, we would take turns, like, in particular, a couple of my friends come to mind, like, my friend Steve, he would play, like, Morrowind in front of me, and even just, like, sometimes I would be sitting around, like, on my Game Boy as well, but I would watch him play, and it's, like, streaming, before streaming was a thing, really, like, you would just sit and watch your friends play games. And it was the same thing, a friend of mine, Ben, used to play the, not used to, he still plays them as well, the Resident Evil games, because I'm, personally speaking, I love horror, but I'm too scared of horror to play horror, so I used to just watch him play, and it was almost like just watching a scary movie. And so it was just, it was nice, like, that social aspect where it was like, even though it was one player games, like just these single player games, it still felt like a social act. So streaming now, and especially with everybody being on lockdown and everything, it still feels like that social act where it's like, I love to watch streamers. Like I said, like I'll go and watch like Daniel at Crazy Clay or at Castlevaniacs, or I'll watch like Adam at Server Life. Like, but it's just when people come to watch me as well, like, it's nice to just have people around chatting. If you get me, like, it feels almost like it did back then when I would just sit in a room with some of my friends and we would play games together, even if it was just a single player game, and just meeting new people. Like, in my stream, we've got a couple of regulars in there already, and in particular, some Paul comes to mind. He's from Australia, and when I'm streaming, it's usually the next morning for him. So sometimes he'll come in and he'll catch me just before work, or sometimes he'll have the stream on at work, and he'll just chat with like myself and Alex. Like, even like Alex has a rapport with him now, because he'll be in the chat as well, because Alex is of course one of my moderators. And him and Paul have quite like a funny little rapport going on. Like, Paul calls him Nana and stuff. It's really funny. But it's just meeting these new people and having it be video games that has brought us together. Like, I don't know, it's really wholesome, and I'm really enjoying the friendships and the social aspect of all of it, to be honest.
Yeah, that sounds really amazing. And like, from what I can say, when it comes to interacting with like people in your own community, like whether it's like you're an artist or a streamer or whatever, it's just so nice. Like, at the end of the day, we know that we wouldn't be here in a certain extent, or like we couldn't do it if it wasn't for the community as well. So it's just so nice to have these connections. And as you said, like, especially during lockdown and stuff too, it's almost like it's a nice way to transform like what we usually would do with like, you know, going to conventions or like going to like just hanging out with people and like meeting people. This is now happening online, and it's so nice to see that it comes with a healthy and nice environment as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is there anything that you find difficult about streaming?
I would say for me personally, it's gonna, like, there's a couple of things, but I would say for me personally, even just setting up, because at the moment, like, I'm a stay-at-home mom as well, so I can't keep my streaming gear like all set up throughout the day, so I have to set it all up at the beginning every single time. So that's kind of like just a little thing. And then I would say, and it's funny to say this as well, speaking as someone that's not had as much growth as others, because obviously there's people out there that are like Facebook partner now that have tens of thousands and sometimes millions of followers. But when I started growing, and especially once I joined the Level Up program, I did start getting messages here and there of people saying things like, oh, like, do you like, can I like advertise with you, or can I draw pictures for you and stuff? Like, so a friend of mine is actually my artist. She's the one that did the picture for Mandy Run Gaming. She did that all herself. So under no circumstances would I be going to anybody else for any of my animations anyway. But it's just weird that I'm still such a small streamer, and I have people like there's been people coming to me saying like, oh, like can I advertise with you for this, or can you tell people to go to my stream, or can you tell people to do this? And I'm kind of like, I appreciate your vote of confidence that you think that I'm big enough to potentially like get you out there, but I don't think you realize what a small streamer I still am. Like, I guess I'll take that as a compliment, but also no thank you. Like, it's just it's like I guess like I take it as a compliment a bit that you think that I'm good enough to poke at and try to like get something out of, but it's like, no, I'm really not, and also no thanks.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. Like sometimes it's also so surreal when like you have that growth that you didn't see coming before, and then how to handle all of that and
Yeah.
to just have that balance of like, is this happening? Is this reality? Like, what's
Yeah.
going on right now?
I can't even imagine how, like I said, with my friend Daniel, his Castlevania stream only started in December, and he's already been approached to go for partner. So basically he has to like do all of jump through all of these hoops to basically get to partner, but not anybody gets invited. So it's like it's a pretty exclusive club. So the fact that that's happened, and he has told me as well that like obviously like people have approached him afterwards like about it, and it's just so for someone as small as me to have been approached, I can't even imagine what people like him and people that are already partner, like that have like these massive followings and stuff. I can't even imagine what kind of like annoying messages like they get and stuff. Like it's like for me, it's just peanuts. Like it's super, I'm super small time, so I can't even imagine like how often people like him and others are approached. But yeah, it's just it was very surreal for me. I was like, I'm gonna take this as a compliment, but also, yeah, no thank you.
That's totally fair. That's totally understanding. What's something you want to tell other gamers and streamers out there, especially female gamers?
I would basically say, in particular for streamers, I would say play what you love, not what you think is going to get views, because people are going to be able to tell that the game that you're playing isn't something that's actually enjoyable for you. Like, I find that sometimes people just really want to go out there and make it big, and that's fair. Like, we all have dreams, and we all just want to make them come true, like, as well as we can. But I feel like sometimes people want to make those dreams come true as fast as they can, and they don't really think too much about basically like the work that it takes to get there, and especially like finding a community and supporting other people, like just expecting that support without actually giving it to anybody. But I would say as well, like you can just tell when you're watching somebody that's playing a game that they think is going to get them views, but they're not actually enjoying it. And it's just, if gaming turns into just a job for you, like it's one thing like for streamers that are absolutely massive, like these are the people that are paying their bills with it, they are like paying for their entire lifestyle with it, then at that point, then yeah, it is a job. I understand kind of sometimes doing things just for the fans, but for streamers that are kind of just like in the level up program and they're mostly doing it as a hobby for fun, and for some of the people that are trying to make a bit of money on the side, just play what you love, because if you don't play what you love, you're gonna have a shitty time, and then what's the point? You know what I mean? Like, nobody just watches a show that they hate or reads a book that they hate. It's just with a piece of art, with like things like video games and just all of those different like bits of art. Like, what is the point in kind of consuming something that gives you no pleasure whatsoever? Like, always do it because you want to, not because you feel like you have to. And for the female streamers out there, I would say just obviously the same thing, just like play what you love, but also try not to take the trolls too seriously. Because, I mean, thankfully for me, I've only gotten, like, one or two. Like, I had someone ask me to twerk on stream for money, and I was like, that's a hard no thanks, but okay. But I would mostly just say that, yeah, they suck. And I've seen trolls in, like, streams for men as well. Like, I've seen Daniel get some trolls and stuff, people telling him how to play games that he's been playing for, like, God knows how long, saying, like, no, you're doing that wrong, or no, you're doing this wrong, or you have to do this. And he's like, thanks, but, like, I've already done a friggin' no-death run on this game, so, like, I think I'm all right. So just basically just remember that you're there to have fun, and don't be afraid to hit the block button if somebody's annoying the crap out of you, really. And just remember that they mostly just want to get a reaction out of you, and the less you react, the more annoyed that they'll get, and they'll probably just move on. And it sucks that it's something that people have to deal with, and particularly female streamers, but the fact of the matter is the internet's all about anonymity, isn't it? So unfortunately, there's not really much that any of us can do about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and make sure that what you're doing is what you love. And then it's all good, isn't it?
Thank you so much for sharing this. Like, I can, like, mic drop to this, because I can 100% agree when it comes to, like, doing what you love. Because listen, I'm still, like, growing with my arts and what I do and stuff, or, like, with this podcast alone. And I'm not sitting here and doing this podcast because someone told me so, in the sense of, like, oh, this will bring you, like, I don't know how many streams or how many this. This is because I want to give people a chance to talk and, like, have a voice, and it's a passion of mine. So whatever you do, like, do that because it's your drive, it's your passion, it's your energy, and you will attract that kind of, like, community environment that loves and sees that. So
exactly.
Do exactly that. And yeah, the block button is a big thing, which I agree to as well, because there's sometimes, like, if it's about, like, honest criticism in the sense of, like, you know, I would give you this advice, or I would do this, or I would do that, then you can have, like, normal conversations. But if it's someone that is literally just there to provoke the shit out of you and just, like, oh, this is shit because of that, or literally insults you without knowing anything, then just, yeah, like, ignore them and block them, because it's a waste of energy, and, like, you don't want that. Like,
exactly.
The energy needs to be put into the art that you do, and whether that's, like, streaming or a book or whatever it is, just put it there and then move on. So thank you for sharing this.
Yeah, no problem.
What's your favorite type of game and why?
So I would say, like, and this is probably, like, this is very ongoing. I'd say that over most of my life, my favorite games have always ended up being either JRPGs or RPGs. I would just say it's mostly because I love the immersiveness of the stories. Like, I'm a lore lover through and through. Like, I read the codex entries. Like, I go searching for every single little thing. Like, my big thing is I hate when I'm going through a dungeon or whatever and I go the right way first. I always want to go the wrong way first because I don't like to backtrack. Like, I want to explore everything and get to, like, the final door as, like, literally the final door. I want to know that I've delved through everything. And it's just for games, like, in particular, I know that we are going to talk about it eventually, but with Dragon Age, Dragon Age is a massive one for me, where it's, like, I love that the actions that you take and the decisions that you make control the world around you, and that sort of game is what really, really truly to me is my bread and butter, because I like knowing that I've had an effect on the game. And it's like you have so many choices as to, like, what race you are, like, and then based on the race, like, how you're treated, like, whether you're an elf or a dwarf or a kunari or a human, and just basically, like, choosing to be a dick or choosing to be, like, a really nice person or choosing to be, like, that little something kind of in between. Like, I like how in games, those games afterwards, the way that you treated people sometimes really comes off, because sometimes as a new character, you'll come across someone that you affected as one of those old characters, and they can talk about you like you were the biggest piece of crap they ever met, or like they truly lost and miss a good friend. And I think that games like that really get to me as well, because to be honest, in games like that, those are the ones that I connect to emotionally as well. Like, to be honest, I'm a big sap anyway, so I can pretty much connect emotionally to just about any game. Like, I can think of puzzle games that I've cried during because the story was just so good. Like Professor Layton and the Curious Village, I replayed that for God, the fifth time, and I had finished it like last month or so, and just at the end of the game, I just ended up tearing up because I obviously don't want to spoil it for anybody that's played it, but it's such a heart-wrenching story, and I don't know, it got to me yet again, and I was like, oh my God, this is like the bajillionth time I've played this game, why am I crying right now? But anything with a really good story that draws me in, that makes me feel an emotional attachment to the characters and to the story, at that point, you've got my interest. And for me, most of those games have been RPGs, but I have experienced that with other games. But I would have to say, like, if I had to choose a favorite genre, it's got to be RPGs, hands down, absolutely.
Absolute great choice, because I relate to that a lot. Like, I think my top genres are A, horror, and B, I would always say, like, storyteller, like, games,
in a sense, yeah, of, like the ones, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, where you kind of have to make own choices as well and stuff. Like, that always gets me the most, when you kind of, as player, has literally the choice that has consequences depending on what you do in the game. Yeah. Like, oh, that has, like, whether it's, like, something like Detroit Become Human or Witcher, or, like, I haven't played Dragon Age yet, but I've heard a lot of things about it, and, like, that you have also, like, all these kinds of choices and what you do and stuff, and it's just always, it tangles you up so much. Like, you're just there and you're like, oh my God, I really fucked this up, or oh my God, this character's dead because of me.
Yes, exactly. And that's the kind of stuff that just hits you so hard, especially when you know, like, oh my God, like, what if I'd done something else and it didn't end up this way? And yeah, it really gets to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely great choice. And yeah, I mean, for me, horror, it's because it's also one of my favorite movie genres. But what I can say is, like, once I played a horror game, I need like a month break because my heart rate just can't go.
Oh my God, yes. Even just watching horror games, it's just it like my blood pressure just like goes through the absolute roof. Like, I do want to start getting more into the horror genre, because I haven't gotten into it because I don't like it, or because I don't think I'd like it. My problem is that I know that I would like it, but I am an absolute coward. Like, I would have to wait until it's high noon and turn on all of the lights in my house and turn the brightness up on my television to like the highest it can go before I could play a horror game right now, because I am so jumpy. Even with just like, even with non-horror games, I'm super jumpy. Like, if an enemy comes out of nowhere, I'm like, ah, God! Like, just so for horror games, it's just, I think that if I were ever to do it on stream as well, I would have to advertise, I'm playing a horror game, turn down your volume, and get ready for streaming, basically. Because it's just, I will absolutely be a screecher. Because I'm an absolute coward when it comes to that. I'm so, so jumpy.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah, I like, one of my favorite horror game movies was when friends and I were playing, I think it was Silent Hill Downpour, in front of this massive TV at night. Don't know how I got into this situation, it just happened. But what happened was basically, because all the other three were like super scared, I had to play. And I was like, guys, this is not fair. And then I was like, come, let's just get it. And like, I walked like 2 meters or something, and then a jump scare happened. And like, I think that I was more shocked, because all around, like, everyone around me was just like, oh my goodness, what's happening? And like screaming and stuff. And I was just like, oh my God, like, I'm traumatized by this game.
Oh my God. I had a friend dress up as, well, I used to go to conventions quite a bit when I lived in Canada as well. And a couple of my friends also like to cosplay too. I did mostly like people from animes, but a friend of mine and his girlfriend at the time were very big horror game lovers. Mm. So don't they just get dressed up into their cosplays and scare the absolute crap out of me, because didn't he just come out of his hotel room, not telling me that he had gotten dressed up in his cosplay yet either, as Pyramid Head, and she was one of the, like, dead, like, weird, like, wrapped up nurses. I nearly peed myself. You just came out of nowhere. I was like, ah! Like, just, I ran back into my room and just slammed the door. And my friend Casey was just like, that was just John. Like, just calm yourself. Like, just, I was like, I wasn't expecting this. There's just, and the Pyramid Head costume was incredible as well. Like, they did an amazing job. Like, they were having people, like, asking for pictures all day. And he stayed in character really, really well. But, yeah, it was the last thing I was expecting, to come out of a hotel room at a freaking DoubleTree Hilton at freaking 7 o'clock in the morning. That was not my expectation for my day. And that it took me a while to freaking come away from being, like, super close to having a cardiac.
I can imagine. Like, also, like, kudos to your friends, because, like, this could have been me. Like, when it comes to jump scaring people, I'm also, like, very in favor for that. But, oh, legendary.
Genius. He didn't do it on purpose, I don't think, either. He just walked out of the room. Like, they hadn't mentioned getting dressed yet, but I think that it was just the icing on the cake. I don't think that they actually meant to scare me, but it was just a lovely surprise for them.
Amazing. Is there any type of game that you don't like or think is overrated?
So, to be honest, if you had asked me this question, like, a couple of years ago, I would have had to say first-person shooters. But Alex actually got me into them when I was pregnant with our son, because it was just, I was just desperate to try new things, and I was heavily pregnant. I looked like a beached whale. I didn't want to go out, but I wanted to, like, I don't know, I just wanted to try new stuff. So he got me into Borderlands, which we're actually playing on stream
now.
Oh
my God, I love Borderlands.
So good, isn't it? And what a good first person shooter to get into. Like, so to be honest, now it's just like, I honestly can't think of a genre that I'm not interested in. Like, I mean, I don't really play MMOs, but that's not even so much like a choice that I've actively made. It's just not really having a lot of people that are kind of on the same, like, at the same time, like, would be available to play with me. Like, so I don't really mind MMOs. I don't mind racing games. Again, with horror, I would like to play them, but I'm a massive coward. Like, I love RPGs. I love puzzle games, farming games, like, simulators. I like The Sims. Like, I honestly think that with the right game, any genre can be good. Like, I think just about any game, any genre can be good. I don't think at this point in my life, I don't think that there's one genre that I wouldn't try just because. Like I said, like, if you had asked me, like, a few years ago, I probably would have been like, first-person shooters. But that was also mostly not any fault of first-person shooters. It was also because I suck at them. Like, it was mostly just a, screw these games, I'm terrible. Like, I hate them. And I'm still not very good at them. But, like, at this point now, I suck with style and I'm having fun with it. So it's just kind of like, you know what, like, I took the chance and now I'm having tons of fun with them and I'm glad that I did. So it was a really good learning experience for me, because I had cut out a whole genre of games just because I sucked at them. And all it took was, like, a good teacher, which is what Alex was, even though he is a little bit harsh with me sometimes, but all it took was a good teacher to, like, show me the ropes. And I finally was like, you know what? Like, this is good. This is fun. Like, I can do this. So, to be honest, I can't really think of any really type of games that I think are overrated or anything like that. So long as everybody's having fun with it, I think that there's no such thing as an overrated game. Because if it's seen as overrated, it's just because lots of people like it. Like, I think that, like, the term overrated might get used too often a bit with, like, you see with, like, people that are like, ooh, I only like indie games, like, the super popular stuff is super overrated, and it's like, well, it's popular because it sells a lot, because a lot of people like it, so you wouldn't really, it's not overrated because it's good, and that's why people like it. And I think with things like video games and with television, movies, books, like, if it's out there and it's being sold, it's because somebody likes it. And so long as people are having fun with it, I think that's the, like, end of most important part of video games, is that people are having fun and, like, just having a good time, whether it be by themselves or with others. Like, that is the point, at, like, as far as I see it. Like, that is the whole point of video games. So as long as people are having fun, I think, yeah, that's like the most important thing.
Thank you so much for sharing this. This is absolutely great, because, yeah, like, to be honest, like, the only thing that I do when it comes to, like, in brackets, overrated stuff is sometimes I'm a bit overwhelmed when something is, like, extremely hyped, because yeah. I'm always, like, I kind of, like, always need my own time and my own pace to, like, get into something sometimes. So when someone is basically, like, trying to force something into my face, like, look, it's out, it's so amazing, I'm like, cool, I haven't even caught up with, like, all the other 20,000 things, like, I'll be there in, like, 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just, there's, I'm a big believer in, like, patient gaming, which is, and there's actually, like, a Reddit group for it as well, which is basically people who are really far behind with new consoles and new games, because it's just, they just don't have the time or the money to be keeping up with all of the new fads. So you see people on there, like, there's people on there that have only just bought the PlayStation 3. Because it's,
oh my God,
just,
that's amazing.
Exactly. And it's just, and they're getting all of this like support from other patient gamers saying, like, oh, like, instead of saying, like, oh, just get a new console, like, when they go in there and they say, hey, I got my PS3, like, what are some good games that you would recommend, that, like, that group just comes together and is like, oh, this is a list of the classics, but here's some games that maybe you might not hear about in the media and stuff because maybe they didn't do as well, but it's actually quite good, like a diamond in the rough sort of thing. Like, it's basically just a huge community of people that are happy with either just playing the classics just because they feel like it, or they just can't keep up with the, like, out with the old, in with the new attitude, which is very much prominent, like, within the electronics world, whether it be with video games, with televisions, like, with the handhelds, obviously, with, like, phones, computers, that sort of thing. Like, unfortunately, some people can't keep up with that. And as far as I'm concerned, like, these people shouldn't be left in the dust. Like, they're as much gamers as the rest of us. And I mean, like I said, like, I don't even have one of the new consoles either. And to be honest, I only know a couple of people that do. And it's just, yeah, it's just the way I see it is, if somebody prefers to just play their PlayStation 2 or their original Xbox, they don't want any new consoles, like, who freaking cares? Like nobody's going to give anybody shit for only reading, like, Jane Austen and Shakespeare. Like, they're the classics for a reason. Like, that's good stuff. Like that's the stuff that we're told to read in school and stuff, because it is legit the classics. So why would you give somebody crap for not reading the newest releases for books? Like, you don't really see that as much, but with electronics, it's like, if you don't keep up, you're left in the dust. And I don't think that that's really fair, because I mean, the old stuff is what brought us to the new stuff, and the old stuff is just, it's, I don't know, it's just, if you completely bypass it just because it's old, then you're missing out on some really good games, like some really incredible things. And personally speaking, I'm going to be going backwards a little bit after I'm done Dark Cloud on Monday. I'm going to be going to the, like, Final Fantasy games, and I'm going to be starting with 7 and just
awesome.
Order. Yeah, I honestly, I'm so embarrassed. When I was younger, I assumed that all of the Final Fantasy games had to be played in order. I don't remember when when I finally was told, like, hey, that's not the case. They're all basically standalone games. And I was like, oh, that's embarrassing. So I have never played through a whole Final Fantasy game. So I'm really looking forward going in blind playing through them. So I'm going to start with 7. I've got 7, 8, and 9 downloaded already. I'm probably going to buy like 10 and 10-2. I've got 12 on there as well. Yeah, age 12. Just came. It's so, I've been watching Daniel at Crazy Clay Gaming's been playing it, and just as he's been playing it, I'm like sitting here thinking like, oh my god, this game looks so incredible, but also just wanting to punch myself in the face for having missed out on all of these glorious Final Fantasy games just because I was under the apparently very wrong impression that they had to be played in order. Like, it was so embarrassing, but I'm so glad that now I'm getting that chance. So it's going to be a super, super interesting, it's going to be a really interesting thing for me. But yeah, it's just, I think a lot of people discount the older games, and especially like some of the younger generation. I'm not going to turn this into a like, kids these days suck. But because we basically just have this like mentality of like, again, out with the old and with the new, we're not giving a lot of people in like newer generations the chance to like look at old games and be like, huh, you know what? Actually, that looks pretty good. Like, maybe I will try that out, even though it's on a friggin' Nintendo 64 instead of the new, like, PlayStation 35 or something. You know what I mean? Like, I think that we need to not give people shit. Like, it's just, you either have people that are like, oh, like, I'm just a retro gamer, and then they have, like, their whole personality kind of, like, ties into that, which is great, but I feel like there's not enough people that play, like, a lot of new games that feel comfortable going into the old ones. And I feel like it's mostly younger people that feel that way. And because like a lot of people my age are very back and forth as well. But yeah, I feel like they're missing out on so many great games, and it's because they're not given the opportunity to. And I think it's mostly as well like a lot of them thinking like, oh, well, if I play these old games, I'm gonna look like an old geezer. And it's like, no, you're allowed to play these. Please don't discount your experience just because you think that it looks old as hell, because it is old as hell. Just try it. Just give it a chance.
Yes, absolutely agreeing on that part. If you could choose any type of game to live in this world, like in the world of the game and be part of it, which game would it be and why? And also, who would you be in that world?
So I would have to probably say, oh god, this is actually really difficult, because so many of the games that I'm thinking of, like, I would be dead so fast, like, but it's just like, at the same time, like, if I didn't die super fast, it would be really interesting. I think I'm probably gonna have to bring it back to Dragon Age, because it's just, the lore is incredible. I think that I would probably, even knowing that the lot of mages in Dragon Age isn't the best, they aren't treated fantastically, to be able to have a connection with what they call the Fade, which is like the other side, like having a connection with the Fade is how mages use their magic. So to be able to be a mage, I think, in Dragon Age, and in particular, probably, like, an elven mage, because I think at that point, like, I'd be, like, with a traveling band of, like, the Dalish elves, and then at that point being trained to be, like, a keeper, I think that it would just be absolutely incredible. But to be perfectly honest, I think it also comes down to the fact that there are so many characters within that game that I wish I could befriend in real life. Like, in particular, there's one called Varric Tethrys, and he is a dwarf who uses a crossbow that he has aptly named Bianca, after a woman he used to be in love with. Well, not used to, still in love with her. And he is a raconteur of sorts. Like, he basically, he in the second game, he lives in essentially a pub and just tells stories like constantly. And another character that you're kind of like friends with in the game as well, she very accurately says that most of his stories start with the words, "No shit, there I was."
I love that. That sounds amazing.
It's just, he's incredible. And like, I always, in the games, I find that I cannot, no matter what kind of a character I'm playing, when he's with me, I cannot make any decisions that I think are going to upset him. Because he is like, I would honestly say, like, within those games, he is my best friend. And I will move heaven and earth for that freaking dwarf. I will do anything for that dwarf, that code on my television. I will do anything for that man. So it's just, I have such an emotional connection, in particular with that character, that anytime something bad happens in the game that has to do with him, I'm heartbroken. I once made a decision that like I had to make. So he wasn't really angry at me, but he was just sad in general. And I was like, "No, Merrick, I'm sorry." But he was devastated. And I was just like, "Oh my God, oh my God, I've hurt my best pal."
This sounds like some of the dramatic endings that I had in like some of the games I've played. Like, I think Dragon Age is a good choice. Like, to be honest, like from all the people that like my flatmate, she's a big Dragon Age fan. Shout out to V on this point. And I only heard good things. Like, I don't think I've ever heard someone say like you shouldn't play this or like it's not that type of game to play. Like, I'm really excited to dive into this world. Like, once I finally hit my gaming stage again, when all like the stuff for my artist stuff is soon in this phase of like, hey, this is some kind of like holiday. Now I can just spend like 12 hours in front of the computer again and just
Absolutely.
game. Yeah, so thank you for sharing this. I've got one last question. Is there any game you haven't played yet that you look forward to, or any release you look forward to?
So I would have to say there's a couple of releases, like if we're talking about things that I know for a fact are going to be out quite soon. There's actually a game that's coming out at the end of this month called Story of Seasons: Pioneers of Olive Town. So it's a farming simulator. Basically, when I was younger, I used to play a lot of the Harvest Moon games, which are farming simulators. Now,
Yes.
exactly. So
Love that.
Story of Seasons is the Harvest Moon of now. Because what happened was Natsumi and Marvelous ended up splitting a while back. So Natsumi kept the name of Harvest Moon, but they no longer had the devs. So all of the current Harvest Moon games are not up to snuff, at least personally speaking, and obviously a lot of like older fans as well. None of them are interested in the new Harvest Moon games because the devs are gone. So they're making them under the Harvest Moon name, but they are not reminiscent of the old games at all. Like not even close. It's like you can call it dessert, but it's still a ham sandwich. Like it's not remotely the same thing. So basically, when they split, Marvelous continued making the games, but they had to name them Story of Seasons because they did not have the rights to the name. So a lot of people that don't realize about the split are continuing to play Harvest Moon games, going, "What the hell? Like, why does this not feel like the way that it used to?" And that's because Story of Seasons has the devs. Those Harvest Moon like feels, those games that like that I don't know that touched people back in the day, those are with Story of Seasons now. So I'm super stoked to be playing that one. It'll be the fourth Story of Seasons game that I've owned. They've got like a bunch others out as well that are also quite good. But I'm also very much looking forward to May the 14th, I believe, is when the Mass Effect remaster is coming out. So I had been considering last year playing through Mass Effect because obviously Dragon Age is BioWare, so is Mass Effect, and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm gonna try this out. But within the gaming community, I started hearing whispers of like, ooh, like maybe they're thinking of making a remaster. I'm like, you know what? Like, I've not played any of the Mass Effect games, so it's not going to kill me to wait a little bit longer and see where these whispers go. Then all of a sudden, the whispers kind of turned into a reality, and they were like, yes, we're doing a remaster, but we haven't announced when it's going to be out yet. So I was like, okay, well, it's a for sure, it's a done deal, they're doing it, so now I'm definitely going to wait, and we'll see what happens. And then when they announced May the 14th, I was like, F yes, I'm going to play through all of Dragon Age, and when I'm done playing through all of the Dragon Ages again and doing all of the DLC, I'm going to buy the remaster, and I'm going to play Mass Effect. So I'm super stoked for that as well. But when it comes down to games that, God, I don't even know, like, I don't know if I'm going to be 50 by the time these come out. Obviously, the new Elder Scrolls, God knows when that's going to happen, because they've not even announced a title for it yet. But it's happening at some point between now and hopefully the end of the universe, and hopefully I'm alive for it. And of course, there has been a lot of announcements and stuff for a new Dragon Age game. They did a really fantastic kind of like teaser trailer where you could hear Varric talking. And there was another one where you could hear Solas from the last game talking. And it's just for anybody that has played the Trespasser DLC for Dragon Age Inquisition, they know to hear Solas, it's like, oh, this guy, F this guy. Like, but it's going to be super, super interesting to see what they do with the new Dragon Age game. And hopefully that comes out before I'm like dead as well. But those two, no announcements, no release dates as to like when it's going to be out, but they're clearly working on them. And I'm very like on edge anticipating when that's going to happen, but I'm stoked about those as well. But I'd say Story of Seasons and Mass Effect, those are within the very near future. So those are things I'm excited about like right now.
Amazing. That sounds so great. Yeah, thank you for answering all these amazing questions. We are moving on to the section called The Total Truth, where my guest has the chance to say up to three truths that are true to them, and I can do nothing about it. So Amanda, take it away.
So I would say one of my big truths is, I would say for the people that think that farming games are not real games, like that anybody that only plays like farming games or Sims, that they aren't real gamers, you can kiss the fattest part of my ass. The way I see it is, if it's a game and people like it and people enjoy it, like they're a gamer, let people like things. My second one is for those people that like the Dragon Age series but are like super super hard on the second game. And I will say, yes, I know that it got pumped out way too fast. We all know that the devs got worked to death for a game that was subpar compared to the first one. But it's a freaking good game, and shut up and leave Fenris alone. And for the third one, I'm going to go with something that you said before, because I know that it's quite, I know that it's confrontational for a lot of pizza enjoyers, but I do think the pineapple belongs on pizza. So I'm going to go ahead and say that. I think that it's great. I think that it adds a little bit of sweet tang to something that's otherwise savory, and I think it's freaking delicious.
Thank you so much for these truths. I really enjoyed that. That was so unapologetic, and I love that, like, this is what the section is about, and I love it. Okay, we are moving to the other part, which is the quick fire questions. These are very random. I like, to be honest, like, now I would probably just structure these questions completely different, but I'm just gonna go for it anyway. So, gaming during the day or night?
Night.
Horror games or click and point adventure?
Click and point.
PlayStation or Xbox?
Xbox.
PlayStation 2 or Nintendo GameCube?
PlayStation 2.
This is a quite funny one to me, the next one. Nintendo Switch or Wii?
Oh, Nintendo Switch.
I know, right? Like, I know, right? Like, this is quite funny. Not sure if you have played these, but I want to know your ops anyway. Assassin's Creed or God of War?
God of War.
Nice. Final Fantasy or Kingdom Hearts?
Final Fantasy.
Witcher or Skyrim?
Skyrim.
Nice. This was it. We're coming to the last question of the day, which is worst and best zodiac sign.
Oh, gosh. God. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, ooh, Libra's the best, because I'm a Libra. I don't know why, but I always have this like weird fascination with Gemini, mostly because of the fact that I thought that it was so, like, because Gemini's the twins, and I know that the Olsen twins are Geminis. So when I was a kid, I just thought it was so cool. I was like, they're twins and they're the twins. Like, I don't know why I thought that was like so cool. So ever since then, I've always had this really weird fascination with Gemini. And when it comes to worst, I'm going to have to say, I'm going to have to go with what Craig said before, and I'm going to have to say Scorpio, only because scorpions scare the crap out of me. That's the only reason, just because scorpions scare the bejesus out of me. So that's the only reason that I can think of. If it wasn't Scorpio, it would be Capricorn, because rams also scare me, because they look like they're literally like one bad day away from bludgeoning you to death with their own head.
I mean, that's a very fair point. Also, thank you, because I'm a Gemini.
You worked out well. I didn't even know that.
So we had all kinds of situations on this before. Like, people were saying like it's the worst or the best, and like I love seeing the reactions when it's people that don't know that I'm a Gemini. Like, that's my favorite part. Genius. Yes, thank you so much for being here today with me. Is there anything else that you want to say or like let out?
I guess basically just for anybody that like decides that they kind of want to do streaming, just do your best. Try not to let like anything about it get you down. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you see, I've seen so many streamers that are doing really, really well for themselves. Like, there's one in, there's this like particular like women streamers group, and she's very popular on Twitch, and she's got thousands upon thousands upon thousands of followers. And she actually showed us her growth chart. And when she started in, I want to say it was like 2019, she had like 400 followers. So it was like it took her years to get to where she was. And it's just, I feel like there's a lot of people that get started that think like, oh, like, why aren't I growing fast enough? Why don't people want to watch me? Why don't people want to see me? Like, they look at those numbers and they think, I'm not good enough, so I'm just going to quit. And it's like, yeah, like, you know what? Like, you might not end up being a famous streamer or even like a slightly famous streamer, but if that's the only reason why you're doing it, then maybe it's not necessarily for you. You got to go in, have fun, hope for the best, and just work hard. Like, make connections, meet people, support others, like, and just have fun with it. If you're only going into it thinking, I want to make X amount of money, I want to have X amount of followers, I want to get all of this really expensive gear, I want this, I want that. If you're only thinking about what you can get out of it rather than what you can give, there's not really a point in doing it. And at that point, maybe just play video games for fun, because I mean, that's what video games are for anyway. Like, it's just, if all that's going to happen is like a ton of stress thinking like, I'm not doing what I want to be doing, why isn't this working, then at that point, like, you've already lost, you've already ruined it for yourself. And I find that that's when a lot of people not only quit streaming but kind of lose their passion for gaming, and I think that is the worst part of it all. That's the most tragic part of it all, is losing a hobby that's so incredible and is capable of so many things, like bringing so many people together and creating so many friendships, losing that because of something like streaming. And it's just, yeah, like, I think that when it comes down to it, play video games because you want to play a game, because you look at it and you go, that is going to be fun, and I cannot wait to spend my evening doing that. Not because you're thinking, that might get me some followers, or, oh, all of my friends are playing this game, so I better play it. No. Like, you've got one life to live. You've only got so much time in your life. There's no point in spending your your precious time on things that don't bring you joy.
Absolutely preach. I love that. Because it's absolutely essential. Because also, like, from what I, like, saw, when people go into, like, whatever they do with that kind of mindset, it has a backlash at some point. Like,
exactly.
Whether it's, like, you might have, like, this 1 minute success or, like, this, you know, 1 minute fame, as they say, or whatever. But what kind of person are you at the end of the day if you don't do it, like, for the passion or the love that is behind it, or, like, for the people that come in form of the community and stuff?
Exactly.
So, absolutely right what Amanda said. Thank you so much for being here with me today. This has been absolutely amazing. I wish I could just, like, you know, dive into gaming right away, but I've got so much to do. Anyways, Amanda will be back with me talking about Dragon Age much
yes.
more into detail, and I'm really excited about that because I can't wait to hear more about this. And otherwise, as we said, like, you can, like, all find her social medias in the description links. So go to Facebook, go to YouTube, check her out and stuff. And I hope wherever you are in the world, you have a wonderful, amazing day. And I'll see you next time on Gigi and Saji. Bye-bye!
If you can't get enough of us, don't you worry. We got social media for you to contact us, to talk with us, to have questions, to raise questions, and to raise your voice towards us. Gigi, which is me, you can find as Elsie Hamilton Arts on Instagram, as well as literally Elsie Hamilton all around the internet. Go to our site, revolutionseries.com, and you can also find extended social media contacts when it comes to Ref Series. Saji, which is known as Abel, you can find on social media, on Instagram, under a certain name. We also drop the links in the description. Have fun, contact us, and have a good day.